is Daniel Haskell, and I am sharing a conversation with John Mullen, who was the principal of Shevers High School. We are connected by our association to Shevers High School. I am a senior there. Mr. Mullen, today I'm offering you an opportunity to reflect on your life and how Shevers may have influenced your life's journey. And without further ado, first question I have for you today, how has living through this recent pandemic made you feel, and what has been the most difficult challenge?
It's made me realize, I guess among other things, just how precious life is and how dear relationships are. And I think that's been amplified by my state of worry. I have elderly friends, I have elderly relatives, I have healthy friends and healthy relatives, and we're all vulnerable, some of us more than others, but it's been difficult for myself personally and to see people in my family worried. We're all dealing with this unknown with no precedent. So it's been very difficult. You know, we've been trying to find a shred of good in the darkness, a shred of light. And part of that is just seeing families. Although we have to be distant, there is a quality in this time that we have now that's not monopolized by structures, whether it's meetings, practices, drills, Little League, choir, drama. Kids are out riding their bikes. Older adolescents are out taking walks, and we're seeing people with families in a way that we haven't seen. So that's a shred of good that's come of this. But I guess, you know, what I continue to take from this is how blessed I feel and how fortunate I feel to be healthy, to feel safe, and knowing that we're going to get through this. I'm sure that we will.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
Eventually. Maybe it'll take a bit, but...
Right.
Yeah, I've had all my family here as well. So we have also had a lot of strange time we haven't had before, and it's just... It is interesting to see what people do with it. I see people walking around far more than I did before.
Yeah. So, and you know, thanks to technology, as evidenced with our conversation, that's been a huge help. You know, we've been able to stay in contact with our family through this type of technology, and so we're fortunate to have that.
Have you been Zooming many people?
Not a lot. We've Zoomed in with a couple of our friends a few times. And I'm a member of the parish council at Our Lady of Hope Parish. So I've had a few Zoom meetings with our council, which has been nice. But other than that, most of my communication with friends has been on the phone, which has been nice. You know, I've tried to avoid texting as much as possible and just having good old fashioned conversations. And I've even written a few letters, Daniel. So that's been nice to do, to take the time and sit down and write a letter and just take something that's in my heart and put it on paper instead of, you know, jettison through a text.
Yeah. I've also written a few letters. We have time now to,
right,
to make communication a little slower and more personal. And that's another plus.
That's right. Darkness. Right.
Next question. Where did you grow up, and what is your favorite childhood memory from that time?
I grew up in Westbrook, Maine. Born in 1954. I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood. My mother and my father both worked at the paper mill most of their adult lives. It was a wonderful childhood. I had a sister who was passed away in the last few years, but she was older than me. There were two of us. She was 23 when I was born, so she had a family when I was born. So I grew up with her children as sort of like siblings. But I have very... very dear memories of growing up in Westbrook. I went to St. Mary's school from grade K through seven, at which time the school closed, which broke my heart. And I transitioned from there to public school, to West Virginia High in eighth grade. And then at that point, going to West Virginia High, I cultivated a lot of friendships, and I'd given some thought to going to Chevreuse, but none of my friends went, and it was, you know, that same old song. None of my friends went. I got involved with activities in at the public school level, so I went on to Westbrook High. I remember what I really cherished about Westbrook, and something that I didn't appreciate at the time, was just the simple beauties, the simple beauty of life as experienced through neighbors, seeing neighbors, friends. We had a very small, intimate neighborhood. At the time, I thought it was huge. Only when I got older did I realize how small my town was, particularly my little section of Cumberland Mills in the shadows of the smokestack. But I cherish my family, my small family, albeit, but my small family, my friends, the neighborhood. The West school system, you know, served me well. I had a small family, memories that I cherish with them.
Did you ever work at that paper mill too?
I never did. No. I think back about that, as they used to say, Mother Warren, S.D. Warren, served the community very well. But my father had always hoped that I would do something different, that I would look in another direction. I think probably because he'd worked down there, and a lot of it was toiling in the paper mills through those years. But I never did. Something else that when I think about my childhood in Westbrook that I'll always remember with great fondness was my time as an altar boy. And in large part, because it was through my experience as an altar boy that I connected with Chevreuse for the first time. As I say, I didn't have any friends who talked of going to Chevreuse. I didn't have any upperclassmen, older kids who I knew in the neighborhood who were going to Chevreuse. So other than my experience as an altar boy, I really had no connection with the school. And it happened this way. I used to serve Sunday Mass frequently. I was an altar boy, I think, from age 9 through 14 or 15. And on Sundays, the 11 o'clock Mass, the taxi would roll up in front of the church, and the Jesuit would get out. And I didn't know what a Jesuit was. And parish priest explained to us, you know, in brief form what a Jesuit was. But that was excitement. It was usually a different Jesuit. You know, we'd have maybe two or three over the course of the year. And the taxi would roll up, the Jesuit would come in, introduce himself, and he talked to me a little bit about Chevreuse and the other altar boys. So I always had Chevreuse in the corner of my mind from that experience as an altar boy. And what I remember about the priest, it was one I remember, Father Dempsey. The others, I can't remember their names. But there was a Father Dempsey, and they all impressed me with their interest in me. They asked personal questions about what my interests were and how long I've been an altar boy. And sometimes we had visiting priests come in, and they were very nice, but they just stuck to form, and we got through it and did the drill and end of it. But there was always that personal contact that the Jesuits made with the altar boys that was meaningful to me. That was my introduction to Chevreuse.
And how has your life been different than you might have imagined, you think?
Since working at Chevreuse, or just in general?
In general, from, I don't know, Westbrook on.
Yeah, how has it been different? Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I never, growing up and going through high school, I never would have imagined myself becoming an educator. It just wasn't something that crossed my mind or entered my heart. It came to me really by good fortune. But so it, I, I, entered a profession that was not one that I expected. And again, it was a Jesuit who would influence me when I was coaching baseball at Shepherd's at the time, and I was working in the Westbrook school system part-time. I think I was 24 years old, 25. And while coaching baseball, Father Russell, the president, with whom I'd interviewed for the coaching position, he called me aside one day and he says, "What do you think about teaching at Shepherd's?" And I said, "Well, geez, I hadn't thought about teaching." I was doing sort of an internship at Westbrook in the guidance area. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. And he said, "I'd love to have you think about teaching." So that's how I entered the teaching and entered Shepherd's. I feel so grateful to have had the experience that I had at Shepherd's and the life that it's afforded me. The excitement, the engagement with young people, the engagement with beautifully minded colleagues and driven, ambitious people, with a penchant for service and acts of kindness. It's just been a great fortune for me. But again, getting back to your question, I guess, how is it different? I just wouldn't have imagined myself being in that discipline. When I left school, I'd imagined leaving that behind me and going on. I used to think about maybe being a forest ranger, working with forest management, wildlife management. And so it was quite a turnaround from that. But it's certainly been God's grace, you know, that I ended up landing where I did.
And do you have any particular memories from your time as shifting from baseball coach to teacher? What was Shepherd's like around that time? How was it maybe different than?
There are a number of ways. First of all, I remember going to Shepherd's those early days. Although I was familiar with Shepherd's, I had only been on campus a couple times in athletic competition. And about half of the faculty were Jesuits then. The new principal coming in was a Jesuit. The president was Jesuit. I remember how there was a vibrancy in particularly in meeting with Father Russell, the president, that really impressed me. The interest, again, it was the same sort of reaction I had to the priest when I was a young kid meeting an altar boy in the getting out of the taxi when the Jesuit came into the church. It was the same at Shepherd's. People were really genuine. They seemed to be genuinely interested in me and others as people and as individuals and what we brought to the school. It was all boys at that time. There was a dress code, which was new to my world. It was the people, and as the more I established my presence, I guess you would say, in the school, I gained an appreciation for the mission, the identity of the school as a school that that works beyond the academic foundation and broadens that very, very, very broadly in forming people for others, the whole commitment to service. This was something that was new to me. So that really impressed upon me. And then meeting Father Farrell, my first year as a teacher, he was my mentor. He was the chair of the English department, and just a wonderful man who helped steer me, because I was really wet behind the ears as a teacher. I'd never done any student teaching, and he was very helpful to me. So the people and the mission, that pairing, the mission and the people live the mission. I got an inkling of it when I first started as a coach, and then transitioning to teaching, and over the 39 years I was there, it's something that's still in my bones. You know, I'll never let go of that experience.
Yeah, and I can imagine that Jesuit attitude you were talking about worked well in the classroom too.
It certainly did. You know, there was a discipline that I experienced at Shebris that was unique to me. The high expectations, the accountability, and I learned this again early on, thanks to my mentor and Father Farrell, but also the role modeling of people around. I remember he asked me in my early days to visit other classrooms, to take in as much as I could on the way to forming my own persona in the classroom. It was the seriousness, the intellectual purpose, and accountability. It was special. It was a special brand.
Any particular teacher you still remember that you really looked up to?
In my time at Shebris? Yeah. Certainly Father Farrell, as my mentor, and he was extremely helpful to me. There was actually, you know, one of my colleagues who started with me, Stu Tisdale, Mr. Tisdale, we started together, but I had great admiration for him. You know, we were about the same age and we started together, but I always admired his work ethic, the seriousness of his approach to work, his professionalism, and probably in ways that he doesn't realize. That was really helpful to me. Father Paul Sullivan, who's currently the pastor, as you know, at A Lady of Hope, he taught across the hall from me. He taught history. Outstanding teacher, dedicated. Father Moriarty was another one who taught history as well and Latin. Father Goodwin was a Latin teacher at Shebris. He came in as a scholastic, returned, but those people all had great influences on me, and I'm sure probably in ways that they never realized. I learned a lot from them.
I also had Mr. Tisdale, and I really enjoyed his class.
Yeah.
I also appreciated his professionalism. He did make us write a lot.
Oh, yeah, right, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
the legal Did he pads. Use those very long sheets of paper for tests?
The legal pads, right?
Yeah, he was still using those.
Yeah, no, that's great. but there were, you know, Father Mc, you know, I could keep going here. Father McNeil was a librarian at the time. Had been at the school for a long time as an English teacher and became the librarian shortly before I arrived. But a deeply spiritual, thoughtful man. Very pious, wonderful model as a person, as a priest. And I homeroom there, so I had daily contact with him, and I'll always cherish that as well.
So next question, shifting to your time as principal. What experiences did you cherish as principal? Something you most enjoyed, and is there anything you regret?
Oh boy, I cherished and what was most memorable, I guess, in my work when I think about that. So I think about it a lot because it's still in my fiber. I was in that position for 26 years, and you know I still wake up at 5:20 in the morning, and I still, even though I've been out of that game for a few years now, I still am wired to thinking, you know, where have I got to be now? You know, I'm kind of looking at my calendar more than I need to. But what I cherished most about the job as principal was one, my contact, the daily contacts that I had with my faculty colleagues and students. They so inspired me, Daniel. In ways that probably defy description for me. In my position as principal, I met with a lot of leadership groups and student activity groups, leaders in those groups, and they just always left me, or nearly always left me, so impressed with their commitment, their dedication. Again, seeing young people as well as my colleagues embracing the mission and living the mission. That just is something that I always will hang on to. It was an opportunity to lead. When I became principal, I felt that there, as much as I loved the school and as it was a wonderful school and a wonderful position, I thought there were some opportunities for change. And I enjoyed being in a leadership position because it enabled me to consider change where change might be good, or enhancement where something good could be better. And in my style of leadership was to be inclusive, to include faculty and decision-making and students in some cases. I valued that input, and it just gave me a great opportunity to lead and consider meaningful progress with the help of so many wonderful people around me. You know, I've said to my wife often that if I did one really good thing, if I did one good thing at Cheverus in my time there, I hired a lot of wonderful people that really make the school go. The faculty on the day-to-day basis are the ones who most impress the student body. They're out there every day, and it was a great honor for me to work with them. What do I regret? There are a number of things, I guess, that come to mind. Did we lose each other, Daniel?
Oh, I'm still here.
I hear you. I just lost lost the video, but okay. I can, as long as you can hear me, I can hear you. Let me see if I can change this over here. Let me try. Share the screen. No. Oh, well. Let me see.
I think I just lost your audio. Can you hear me? I can't hear you anymore. Is your Wi-Fi connection stable, or maybe try refreshing the page. I can't hear you. I think I'm gonna have to start another one. Maybe I can, I don't know. If you can hear me, I'm going to close this and I'm going to send another link. See if that works.